All right, well, good evening, y'all. See, you just never know. See what happens when you leave a door open? People like me get up here. Well, I am honored. I don't take this call lightly. It's an honor and a privilege to be behind this pulpit, and I'm honored, and I thank you, family, for trusting me to bring the word. I don't take it lightly. I'm honored to be up here, so praise the Lord. Amen. Now, Dave, I'm going to try to keep it short tonight. I use the three B's. Every good Baptist knows about the three B's, right? Be brief, be interesting, and be done. So I'm going to follow the three B's of Baptist preaching.
And be boring.
And be boring, right. And I may even add another one, and be gone at 8:05. So, but it's good to be here tonight. And like I said, I mean, at times, you know, I'm not worthy. I'm honored to be up here but it's just a blessing. So thank you very much. Let's open with a word of prayer, and then we'll go ahead and delve into what the Lord put in my heart. Father, what a blessing it is, Lord, to be in your house. Lord, people are hurting all over Texas. We ask that you comfort them. Father, you know their need. Lord, help us to provide needs as you see fit, Father. Put people in our lives, Lord, that we can make a difference, that we can just leave them a little better than how we found them. I just pray that you'll speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, I don't know why you put this message on my heart, but you did, and I thank you for that. I just pray now that I can be a blessing, Lord, to someone in this room here tonight. I pray that you'll be with Pastor. Lord, we love our pastors, and Lord, we want to support them and help them and pray for them, and I just pray that you'll be with Pastor Riggs. Give him travel mercies. Help him, Lord, return safely. And Lord, also be with the Hill Country and Kerrville and Ingram and folks, Lord, all through that area, Lord. And just comfort them. Give them peace, Father. We just pray now, if there's one undone that does not know Jesus Christ in this room or just on this campus tonight, we pray that they will come to know Jesus Christ, Father. For we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I always like to work the serious side of our brain, and now I work also like to work the less serious side. So I have senior humor, right? And it's from my Sword of the Lord. So it's all good. I mean, I just got my Sword of the Lord in. Old age is that period when a person is too old to take advice, but young enough to give it. You can tell you're getting old when you sit in a rocking chair and can't get it going. Old age is that time when your memory is shorter and your stories are longer. Old age is that time when you spend more time talking to your pharmacist than anyone else in the day. About the only thing that comes to us without effort is old age. And the last one, you know you're getting old when the candles cost more than the cake. Whoa. All right, amen. All right, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about, are we doing our part to make Jesus look good? Are we doing our part to make Jesus look good? We're going to bang around in the Word tonight, and because if it's not from the Word, I'm not interested, amen? It's in the book, and you got to get in the book. And like I said, this book is a history book, a science book. It's the Word of God, and it's living. Amen. And I often tell folks, you know, you can remember things, folks who preached the Word of God in your heart, but you can't remember what you had for lunch yesterday. And that's by God's design, because His Word is living. It lives in us. Amen. The Word of God. So, salvation is a miracle, and it is a promise from God. And if there's anyone in here, in this room tonight, or that can hear our preaching, it is a miracle. It is not how you feel. Salvation is a miracle. And why do I believe that? Because if you turn to Romans 5:8 in your Bible, quickly, and some of you probably know it by heart. And the word says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Is that not a miracle? We were no good. We were yet sinners. Christ died for us, for you, for me. That's a miracle. That's why when you accept salvation out of the millions of people in the world today, that's a miracle. God's love found me, found you. So, amen. We need to praise that and never forget that. If you were saved, you have found the miracle. Amen. And, you know, our salvation is, you know, it's about our testimony, isn't it? Whether it's in the community, in this church. And so I tell our class right in the morning is, you know, it's like when you throw a rock in the pond, isn't it? You see ripples. And you don't know how far your testimony ripples are going to go. Only God does. And that's why you never give up. You keep plugging. Amen. You keep battling. In 1996, we took a load of teenagers up to a BBC, a Baptist Bible College, and they were having, you know, all the college days, Springfield, Missouri. Ain't that right for those of you? I mean, I like it. I mean, that's, you know, like a beautiful area. But anyways, 1996, we took teenagers to BBC. There were two pastors from Oklahoma who spoke that week. And you may know them, Dave McCracken and Sam Davison. And if you live in the Midwest, you know those two preachers because they preach all over the Midwest. And Dave McCracken, he was a younger, and he used to run off the podium and down the aisles. And I mean, he'd light them teens on fire. And we had a teen saved at that meeting, and they went, you know, to check out the college, but we got two teens saved. And so on our way home, all those teens talked about was, man, that skinny preacher on fire for God, he'd get right in your face. And so it just, I mean, it brought joy. So, and I even remember what he preached on. He preached on Exodus 3, how God got a Moses' attention. What does it take, you know, to get your attention? But anyways, last year, right? 29 years later, right? Now, that was 1996. 29 years later, he's preaching here in town at a revival, right? A Dave McCracken. So I told my wife, we packed up our stuff. I took a message, right? I always take notes. Amen? Remember, we don't know how far those ripples are going to go. I took the notes that I took during that preaching session on Moses, right? And we showed up, and I'm telling you, he didn't know me. I mean, I was one of hundreds of people in that auditorium in 1996. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. But I took down the Word of God, and I enjoyed it. And last year, we met him here in town at a local church, right? He was doing revival. And I walked up to him, and, well, I gave him a hug, and I said, you don't know me, but 30 years ago, I took these notes, and I mean, he started weeping, and it was just a blessing, and you just seen a light in his eyes. I don't know why God put me in touch with him 30 years later. Remember, you don't know how far those ripples are going to go, but he preached, and after the message, he brought his wife up to me and my wife, and you'd have thought I was his best friend. But what a blessing. Why did God put me, 30 years later, why did God put me there? I don't know. Maybe he was getting tired. Maybe he was weary. Am I preaching you? Why aren't I reaching? I don't know. But you just never know. That's why we don't give up, folks. You just, 30 years later, and I just, you could just see, I mean, the joy in his face when I left, like he needed that, right? And God put me in his life. So what a blessing, folks. You never know. That's why we can't quit. Don't give up, right? Never, never give up. Keep plugging away. Amen? So, folks, Now, we know that our nation needs our prayers, and I brought something from CLA. I get their newsletter. And I just want you guys, and we're going to look at a verse that's going to encourage us not to give up. And like I tell our class, our ambassadors, and our home builders, don't give up. I know it's tough. Keep plugging. Don't give up. But this is why. I'm going to read some things, and then you'll know why we don't give up. This is from CLA. They put out a newsletter, and they tell you what's going on in our United States of America, right? How churches need help, our prayer, right? And this is about how some surprising, thought-provoking statistics about Christians in the United States. This is why we don't give up. Christianity is declining rapidly. Only 63% of Americans now identify as Christians, down from 90% in 1970. All right? If the trends continue, Christians will be a minority in 2070. So don't give up. Amen? Church attendance is even lower than belief. While 63% say they are Christians, only 28 to 30% attend church. And that's just once a week. That means over half of self-identified Christians in America don't go to church. Right? Don't give up, folks. Keep praying for them. Fewer than 10% hold a biblical worldview. Only 6% of U.S. adults and just 19% of born-again Christians have a biblical worldview, meaning they believe in core biblical principles like absolute moral truth and salvation through Christ alone. That's 19%, folks. Keep praying. Keep praying. Bible reading is shockingly rare. This is what breaks my heart, folks. Only 11% of Americans read their Bible daily. 11%. That means 89% of America isn't in the Word daily. More than half of self-described Christians say they rarely or never read Scripture. Man, that, I mean, it breaks your heart. And this is just 1 year ago. 2023, they took this. Half of pastors are seriously considering leaving the ministry. In 2023, 42% of pastors have seriously considered quitting full-time ministry in the past year due to stress, isolation, and pressure. All right? So, as we see, don't quit, and they need our prayers. A majority of Christians can't define the Great Commission. Wow. The study found just last year that 51% of United States churchgoers have never heard the Great Commission. That, see, folks, we got work to do, man. We can't throw the towel in. All right? Or they can't explain what it means, what the Great Commission means. So there you go, folks. That's from CLA. Brother Gibbs does a great job, and he's the one that reminded me, right? Are we doing our part to make Jesus look good? And that's what we're going to cover some things tonight that I have down that I've used. I'm going to put them on your fridge. You can put them in your Bible. But basically, it's five supplements, I like to say, that helps make Jesus look good. And we're going to look at them. They're in the Word. They're short, sweet, and to the point, but I pray that they'll motivate you and just... You know, when you get bogged down with your walk, sometimes you just need to get in the Word, and God knows exactly what verse to use. And I'm going to share with you these five things tonight, and I pray that they are a blessing to you. But so, you know, the good news is in John 14:6, right? Even though I read that report from CLA. That Jesus is victorious in the world today. Amen? And Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And we are his ambassadors, right? If we turn to 2 Corinthians 5:20, this is one of our theme verses for our class that we do every Sunday morning. 2 Corinthians 5:20. And I got to brag on our class. We are age 25 to 50-ish, right? Remember, I'm over 50. I mean, I only look like I'm 45, Russell. I'm telling you,
That class, if you haven't went and you'd like to go, we're right back here in the hallway. Sorry, this is my pub for our class. These folks, can I just give you a good report that our church nucleus, ages 25 to 50-ish, we are in good shape. We have some strong men and women in that class. I mean, they battle, and when we have our prayer, I mean, these folks, I mean, they knock down things that, I mean, that would scare me to death. But we have strong men and women, single and married, and they raise their children, and they make strong decisions. I'm telling you, folks, they are some superstars. Town East Baptist Church is in good shape because that's the nucleus of our church, right? It's the heart. And I am so so proud of them that I'm telling you, man, I am in awe of that class every Sunday. I mean, I leave there just shaking my head when I see smart people, strong. It's amazing. So I just want you to know that that's your good report on our ambassadors and home builders. 25 to 50-ish in this church, it's there. It's solid. And I'm so proud of them, and I can't let them down, and I won't. All right? I'm going to be there for them. So, anyways, there's my pub for the ambassadors. Sorry. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Let's find it there. And the word says, now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, ye be reconciled to God. Amen. Your testimony matters, right? Your testimony matters. A title, not so much, but your testimony matters. In this world we live in, I always say, what is our purpose? Are we making Jesus look good? Some days are better than others, right? I mean, life brings us down. But remember, our testimony matters. Those ripples, you don't know how far those ripples are going to go. And folks are watching. Be strong parents. Speak to your children about the issues, right? And in God's eyes, you know, fame and popularity that so many people seek is not success in this world. It's not when you get in the Word, right? To God, obedience and faithfulness is what is successful, right? Obedience and faithfulness. You know, the line for those who believe in God, I mean, it probably runs for miles, right? I mean, who doesn't believe in God? But when you study out His Word, the line for those who are obedient and faithful to God, you about cut that line in half or maybe less. Amen? God looks for obedience and faithfulness in us. Amen? So don't give up. Stay focused. And if we do stay focused, let's turn to 2 Timothy 4:8. This is what you can encourage maybe your friend or your teammates or church members or your children, right? When you stay focused and you stay on track, 2 Timothy 4:8 states, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. There you go, folks. If that doesn't, I mean, get the blood flowing or give you butterflies, I mean, I don't know what will. Amen. Right? A crown of righteousness. That's why we keep going. That's why we keep going. And like I told you, it's amazing. I mean, those folks in my class, man, when they say what they've dealt with, like all week, I'm amazed. And I'm so proud of them. And they just keep chugging away. And they're here in church faithfully. And I know it's hard, you know, to get them kids dressed and to get them here, right? But they're here. So God bless them. So keep it up, Town East Baptist Church. Stay faithful. Amen. And the Lord will bless you for it. All right, as a Christian and a follower of Jesus, our personal growth must be consistent and committed. So it's just like muscle memory, isn't it? You do it automatically, right? Pop out of bed, get in the Word, say a prayer, And that's what we want to do. We must seek to be obedient and faithful. We are equipped by the indwelling Holy Spirit who lives within us, right? To overcome the pressures and the trials of this present life and to help us grow in Christ's likeness. We are to examine our thoughts, words, and our actions and to line them up with the Word of God, right? If it doesn't line up with the Word, we shouldn't even be interested in it, right? Right? It's like those thoughts, you know? Cast them down, you know? And I tell folks in our class, if you leave these doors and you put your Bible in your trunk or in your back seat and never touch it, Satan doesn't need to do anything with you. You're doing it all yourself. Get in the Word, right? Take notes, you know, study the Word, pray for folks, you know, just stay active, amen? We must be in the Word daily, studying it, praying over it, and obeying it, amen? Remember I said the two keys is obedience and faithfulness. That's what God looks for, not fame, right, or popularity or whatever else this world seeks. Amen? Because it's all going to be gone, right? It's all temporal. It's just like stuff we own. It's stuff. It doesn't matter. It's just things. It's stuff, right? We must be in the Word daily, studying and praying over it and obeying it, and to always be ready to give a testimony of the reason for the hope that is within all of us. 1 Peter 3:15, if you would. Let's turn there. Some of you may even know it. And the Word of God says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready. Now, I'm not saying this. God is. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Right? Or respect. Be ready. You know what I mean? Even rehearse it. I mean, I've caught myself in, I don't know, maybe, you know, it's because I'm like a nut job, but it's okay to be a little nuts. As long as you're fastened to the right bolt, amen? I rehearse, like if I meet someone, how am I going to, you know, say to them, you know, hey. And I found, as I would share the Word with teens, the best thing to do is just tell them your own testimony, right? I know folks say I'm shy, you know, I wouldn't know what to say. Of course you do. What has Jesus done in your life? Tell them. I mean, you'll probably talk an hour and a half. Right? What God has done for you and changed your life. There's nothing better than a genuine testimony, amen? Because it comes from the heart, right? Amen. So according to God's Word, a Christian disciple is not only involves in personal growth, which we should be doing anyways, right? Before you can ever lead, you must learn how to follow, right? Amen. And that's just the bottom line. And that's what God wants us to do, follow, right? Through obedience and faithfulness, we must learn to follow. You'll never be a great leader, and that's what I tell those young men and women out at the base, right? Before you can lead, you must learn how to follow, right? And some folks want to take a shortcut, and you know what? It never works. Amen? And the same way with God. Don't take shortcuts when it comes to God. Don't take shortcuts when it comes to your testimony, right? Because you don't want to lose it. Amen. Now, according to God's Word, a Christian disciple not only involves our personal growth, but is characterized and to be followed up by the following five acts of kindness, compassion, and service. Right? And this is what I want to say. These are five areas that I've used. I have them in my Bible, right? And I just like to say they're a supplement to our personal growth. We should all be growing. You never stay the same, right? And here I'm going to use one of my sayings from my class. Where's Debbie? Okay, good. She's not here, but all right. I tell my class, when you're green, you'll grow. When you're ripe, you'll rot. Yeah, that's silly, isn't it? I used to tell my kids that too. But it's about you're either getting better or you're getting worse every day when it comes to God. When you're growing, you're green, right? You're anxious. You have butterflies. You want to learn and grow. But when you think you've learned all you need to know about this book, oh, God help us. You're in trouble. I will stay out of your way. So when you're green, you'll grow. When you're ripe, you'll rot. All right. I know it's odd, but I mean, just use it sometimes. When you're green, you'll grow. When you're ripe, you'll rot. When you think all, when you think you've learned all you need to know, whether it's about child rearing or whatever, man, are you in trouble? Amen. So never quit learning, right? Never quit seeking knowledge, right? Seek, you know, seek God's word like the devil seeks us, right? Seeking whom he may devour. And that seek means you have to let him in, right? He's seeking. Don't do it, right? Seek the word of God, amen? So five supplements that I want to share with you guys. Am I doing all I can to make Jesus look good? And the first, as I say, supplement to our personal walk with God is, it's from Mark 8. Putting Jesus first in all things. Not some, not one, all things. So let's turn there, if you will, because there's no use having our Bibles if we're not going to use them. Amen? It's in the book. Where's Frank? It's in the book. That's how I know. Amen. All right, well, all the folks, you know, that rough me up in class aren't here, so I have a reprieve. Amen? Yeah, exactly. Putting Jesus first, folks, not only keep your personal testimony, but put Jesus first in all things. Mark 8, 34 to 38. And the word says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. Verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, man, this is powerful stuff, and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation of him, also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Wow. That's some powerful stuff. So the first one is putting Jesus first in all things. We are to be set apart from the world. Folks should be able to look across the way and you should stick out, man. Not only should you beaming because you love the Lord, but you should be able to tell in a crowd of people. And you know what's odd? Christians seek out other Christians just, you know, just kind of naturally. And that's the love of God, right? So anyways, set ourselves apart, folks. We must put off ourselves. All right, now I'm starting to pry. Put off yourself, put more of Christ, right? Put off self-centeredness and put on Christ-centeredness. Amen? That's the key. That's the first supplement to your personal growth, besides your daily Bible reading, right? And it's a putting Jesus first in all things. All right, number two, follow the teachings of Jesus, John 8, if you will. If you all turn to John 8, and I'm turning there. And the word says in John 8, 31 and 32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Verse 32, if ye shall know the truth, and believers, the truth shall make you free. Amen. All right. Follow the teachings of Jesus. So number one, right? Be set apart from the world. Put Jesus first. All right. The second thing is obedience and faithfulness are the supreme test of faith in God's eyes. Obedience and faithfulness, right? Are you going to do the right thing when no one's looking, right? When it's just you and God. Obedience and faithfulness, right? Put Jesus first. Follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, right? Complete obedience, right? That is a true test. Third is bearing fruit. John 15, verses 5 through 8. John 15. Bearing fruit. And the word says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me,
he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. In verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples.
Bearing fruit. And see, I joke with people. I say, you know, God judges you. I'm just a fruit inspector, and I don't see no fruit being produced. Amen? And when you study this out, right, and technically producing fruit is not our job, right? Our job is to abide in Christ, right? And the fruit will come, amen, through Jesus Christ. Exactly right. We are to abide in Christ, like the word says, and fruit will automatically be produced as a byproduct. Amen? So put Jesus first in all things. Your second supplement here is follow the teachings of Jesus. The third is bearing fruit, right? You'll be able to stand back and see the fruit being produced, so you don't have to be fruit inspectors. All right, number four, loving other disciples. You know what? We've been members here for 2 years, and you guys have graciously take us in. I mean, you guys love us to death. I mean, I love getting hugs from the time I get out of my car, Rust, to all the way I make it back. But this is what me and my wife, when we drove away from this building, we visited probably 8 or 9 churches. We went like 3 months. We visited here once. I know Dave and Ron, you know, had mentioned it, John. And we visited once. And we got in our truck, and we drove out the road, and me and my wife, we looked at each other, and we said, that's it. That's the one, right? And you know why? Because this is one of the things that made the difference of us visiting a Town East Baptist Church is you guys love one another to death. We love each other to death. And that's what mature Christians who are looking for a church look for. How does the other members treat their own family? And it's, so keep it up. Don't stop. I mean, loving one another. Hug, shake Russ to death, man. Shake the stuffing out of me, man. I don't care. But this is a key. This is another supplement. Loving other disciples. John 13. All right. Verses 34 and 35. And the word says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Now, this is Jesus, folks. This is serious stuff, right? I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. That's how we knew this church was for real, right? So God bless the leaders and the men that have led this church in the past. It was right. We could see the love in this church. You guys loved. And now me and my wife are part of that family, and we're getting loved, Russ. So I love it. Amen? No. So love one another. Don't stop doing the right thing. Remember, make Jesus look good, you know. Be a blessing to one another. I mean, and I got to brag one more time on my class. At the start of class, I can say, all right, I have a special project and I need 4 people to spend 4 hours this Sunday helping. Before I even finish, I mean, I have classmates back there. I'll do it. I said, wait, but you don't even know what it doesn't matter. You need help. Is that not awesome on them ambassadors and home builders? I'm telling you, I love them to death. And if you get a chance, I mean, come on back and visit us. So we have a good time. Our brother has to beat on the wall because we make too much noise, amen? So that's a good thing, right? All right. Loving other disciples, that's what set this church apart, and I'm glad I'm a part of it, and now I'm loving on you, Russ, as much as you're loving on me, amen? So don't quit, because mature Christians who are looking for a church see that, and it jumped out at me and my wife, and that's one of the things that we talked about driving home. I said, and one other thing I said, you know, I said, I bet some of those people are just like me, you know. They have a ketchup drawer just like I do. And I know they're like me. I take a ketchup and whatever from McDonald's and from Chick-fil-A. I got a big old drawer, see? And I know some of you do, so don't mess with me. All right. Number 5, making disciples of others. All right? Disciples multiply, right? Dave trains someone, right, and mentors him, and then that person turns and trains someone else and mentors them. Disciples multiply. That's why we have to what? Not give up. Keep working. Keep being a testimony, right? A testimony matters, right? Let's turn to Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Matthew 28. Let me find it here. And this is our last point, right? Follow, we should always put Jesus first. Follow the teachings of Jesus. Bear fruit, right? Just abide in Christ and the fruit will come. Loving other disciples, other Christians, other folks in our church family, right? And that's just thinking of people highly, right? Thinking more highly of others than yourself. And the last one is Matthew 28, 18 to 20, is multiplying disciples. And the Word of God says, all right, let me find it here. Oh, there it is. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So one of the last things that Jesus said, right, to his disciples, right, was what? Go and do what? Make disciples, right? I mean, Jesus trained 11 men who spent the rest of their lives doing what? Making disciples. And we need to keep that, right? We make disciples. Disciples multiply. We help someone get saved, train them up, disciple them. They turn and keep doing and going and going. And that's how we grow Town East Baptist Church, right? Making disciples, right? You can never take the gospel to the wrong address, or not that I know of. And if you do, let me know, because I'd like to know where you took it, that it was the wrong place. Amen? A Christian disciple is one who puts Jesus first, obeys the Lord, produces good fruit, loves others, and makes disciples. And Town East Baptist Church is sure to make an impact if we keep these five acts of service out in the front of our mission to make Jesus look good. Amen? In closing, the story goes, in 1871, in the great city of Chicago, there was a famous preacher who had a revival that week. Him and his, he also had a famous assistant. And I mean, it was packed, crowded. His first night, he had traveled, but hundreds came to see him. I mean, the church was packed, up, just people everywhere. It was hot. And so this famous preacher, because he was tired, he decided in his mind, he said, you know what, I'm going to preach tonight, and I'm going to tell the folks to go home, and when they come back tomorrow night, I want them to make a decision. Right? I want them to make a decision. And that's what he did. Is he preached a great message, but he did not have an altar call. He sent them home and said, tomorrow night, I want you guys to make a decision at this altar. And he sent him away. Well, that night, from his motel room, he watched Chicago burn. That was the great Chicago fire of 1871. And he knelt and he said, I will never do that again. He said, I will never have a service without making a call to the altar. And I won't as well as tonight. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, just be praying tonight. I mean, who knows? A person sitting beside you may not be saved. Only they know. And I just pray tonight, if there's someone here tonight that just not sure about their salvation, right? Or just have something else that the Lord has put in your heart. I pray, I know it was a short message, some short verses, but I just pray that it was a blessing to you tonight. I pray that maybe you can use one or all of these verses in your walk with God. And as you supplement your personal growth to make Jesus a success. Lord, I just pray that if there's one here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ, Lord,
I pray that they will come forward with every head bowed and every eye closed here in the room. If there's someone that's just not sure, I open this altar up to you just to come forward. And if you're prompted not to do that, then just meet with me after the service tonight or a Pastor Stevens and just say, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I've ever accepted the promise of salvation. I felt I was saved, but that's not it. Feelings will not get you there. It's believing the promise of God that if you do this, I will save you if you put your trust in Jesus Christ. That's a promise. That's not how you feel or how you act. It's a promise from God, and you must accept that promise. Lord, I just thank you for this time that I've spent with my family tonight. And I pray, I know, Lord, Lord, that I'm not the preacher, but I just put out, Lord, what you put in my heart. And I just pray that it's a blessing to these folks. And they sure are. They're a blessing to me and my family, Lord. And I just pray that you'll guide and direct your steps, Lord. Be with folks who are hurting in this state of Texas, Lord. And there are many. But, Lord, you know their needs. You know their hearts. Lord, show us ways to help folks who need help. Lord, help us, Lord, to have a good testimony. Help us to love one another, Lord, and help us to get out the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just pray now that you bless all that we do here this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.